Good morning. And thank you for coming here today to share the Dharma together. And especially welcome to friends and guests. A teisho is not a talk in the usual sense. Listening to a teisho is a practice, even as presenting the teisho is a practice. A teisho is something in which the teacher tries to express as directly as possible with words the ultimate truth of things. Most teishos are commentaries on koans. Koans are these strange, seemingly paradoxical and illogical stories of the sayings and doings of the ancient Zen masters. But if one has an open eye, the koans are perfectly logical. It all depends on what your assumptions are, what your preconceptions are. If you have no assumptions and no preconceptions, then your eye is at least somewhat open. In listening to a teisho, you just become one with the listening, with open mind, open heart, without judgment or opinion. It's fine to shift your posture if you need to, but please do so quietly and mindfully. Also, however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. Why do we sit? Why do we do this practice? Are we trying to become something else? Someone else? Someone better, or at least someone different? Are we here to try to make it happen one day? Not quite now, maybe, but someday. What about today? What about right now? The poet Kabir says, "You have slept for a million years. Why not wake up this morning?" Today we will take up case number 40 in the Wu Mengguan, kicking over the water bottle. The case reads, when Guishan was studying under Bai Zhang, he worked as the cook at the monastery. Bai Zhang wanted to choose a founding teacher for Mount Da Kuei. He summoned the head monk and the rest of the disciples and told them that an exceptional person should go there. Then he took a water bottle, set it on the floor, and said, "Don't call this a water bottle. What would you call it?" The head monk said, "It can't be called a wooden clog." Bai Zhang then asked Guishan his opinion. Guishan kicked over the water bottle and walked out. Bai Zhang laughed and said, "The head monk loses." Guishan thereupon was made the founding teacher of Mount Gui. Wu Men's commentary. Though Guishan was altogether valiant, he could not spring out of Bai Zhang's trap. Comparatively speaking, he accepted the difficult and rejected the easy. How so? Look for yourself. Removing the towel from his head, he shouldered an iron yoke. And Wu Men's verse. Tossing away the bamboo utensils and the wooden ladles, he swept away all impediments before him. Bai Zhang's severe barrier could not stop him. The tip of his foot creates innumerable Buddhas. Guishan lived from 770 to 853 of the Common Era. His Japanese name is Isan. As we can see from this koan, he was the Dharma heir of Bai Zhang. whose Japanese name is Hyakujo, and his dates are 720 to 814. Bai Zhang was an heir of Mazu and a Dharma brother of Nanchuan. So we are right in the midst of the Tang era of ancient China, the so-called Golden Age of Chan. Guishan and his heir, Yangshan, founded the Guiyang School, which only lasted about four generations. Guishan was ordained at the age of 15 and joined Bai Zhang when he was 24. By the time of our story here, he was in his 40s, so he had been studying Zen with his teacher for at least 20 years, and he had been Tenzo for quite some time. The position of Tenzo, the monastery cook, is one of the most responsible in any monastery, and Guishan had already experienced deep realization under Bai Zhang's instruction. After the incident of this koan, Guishan went to Mount Gui, hence the name, and it said that he lived there for 8 years in the wild before he was discovered by others, and a monastery was built for him. Eventually, he became the abbot of some 1,500 monks and nuns and had trained 41 successors, including that remarkable nun, Liu Jie, the iron grinder whose name is in the ancestral line that we chant. According to the... Let me reread the koan here. When Guishan was studying under Bai Zhang, he worked as the cook at the monastery. Bai Zhang wanted to choose a founding teacher for Mount Da Kuei. He summoned the head monk and the rest of the disciples and told them that an exceptional person should go there. Then he took a water bottle, set it on the floor, and said, "Don't call this a water bottle. What would you call it?" According to the commentators, this whole thing is a setup. Bai Zhang had already made his decision that the new monastery would be founded by Guishan. But hearing about this, the head monk objected. He wanted to know why he was being passed over in favor of the cook. So, in order to maintain harmony in the Sangha, and also as a teaching opportunity, Bai Zhang conducts his little experiment as a lesson to the head monk and a challenge for us. Don't call this a water bottle. What would you call it? You are forbidden to give anything a name, not even yourself. If you cannot call yourself yourself, Joe, Mary, or Ken, what are you? If you let go of your own name, your very identity, what's left? When you are asked, "Who are you?" or "What is this?" what do you say? "Oh, my name is..." or "I am a..." or "It's a..." But you can't use a name, a title, or even a word. What do you say? What do you do? Don't call it a water bottle. What do you call it? The monk said, "It can't be called a wooden clog." No, that doesn't work. Dancing around the issue. It's too clever by half. The head monk is still looking at this bottle as an object separate from himself. Something outside. It is this, it is that, 30 blows. It is not this, it is not that. 30 blows. It is both this and that, or it is neither this nor that. 60 blows. If I hold this up and say, "Don't call it a cup," What would you call it? How would you answer? Be careful. If you are truly not separated from your practice, from yourself, you will be able to answer. Bai Zhang then asked Gui Shan his opinion. Gui Shan kicked over the water bottle and walked out. Gui Shan takes it to the limit and past the limit. He kicks over the bottle and walks off. This is called cutting through complications. It's also called leaping clear. He short circuits the whole question. What is the freedom that we seek in our practice? Is it the freedom to be eccentric, wild and crazy, thoughtless, even cruel? That was one of the conceits of the so-called New Age of the 1960s and 70s. The big Zen thing, you know. But it is not the freedom that Gui Shan is expressing when he kicks over the water bottle. There is a freedom that allows one to cut through complications and confusions, to see clearly what is in this moment. It is the freedom to be exactly who and what you are right here, right now. Gui Shan was Tenzo. When someone applies to Sesshin and finds out that they have been selected to be the Tenzo, how do they react? Oh my God. Well, it is a lot of work, no question. Part of the preparation for anyone who is going to be Tenzo, especially for the first time, is to read Dogen's instructions to the Tenzo. It was written as part of his monastic regulations. And in it, Dogen describes a shipboard encounter with a Tenzo of a Chinese monastery. It goes like this. One time, while I was talking with the captain, a monk about 60 years old came on board. I invited him to have tea and asked him where he came from. He was the Tenzo of Mount Aiwang. Last year, when the summer practice period was over, I was appointed Tenzo of the monastery. But I have nothing good to offer the community. I wanted to make a noodle soup, but we did not have mushrooms. So I made a special trip here to get some mushrooms to offer the monks from the Ten Directions. I asked him, when did you leave there? After the noon meal. How far is Mount Aiwang? 34 or 35 li. That's about 12 miles. When are you going back to your monastery? I will go back as soon as I have bought mushrooms. I said, today we met unexpectedly and had a conversation on this ship. Is it not a good causal relationship? Please, let me offer you a meal, Reverend Tenzo. It is not possible. If I don't oversee tomorrow's offering, it will not be good. Is there not someone else in the monastery who understands cooking? Even if one Tenzo is missing, will something be lacking? I have taken this position in my old age. This is the fulfillment of many years of practice. How can I delegate my responsibility to others? I again asked the Tenzo, Honorable Tenzo, why don't you concentrate on Zazen practice and on the study of the ancient master's words rather than troubling yourself by holding the position of Tenzo and just working? Is there anything good about it? The Tenzo laughed a lot and replied, good man from a foreign country, you do not yet understand practice or know the meaning of the words of the ancient masters. Hearing him respond this way, I suddenly felt ashamed and surprised. So I asked him, what are words? What is practice? The Tenzo said, if you penetrate this question, how can you fail to become a person of understanding? But I did not understand. Then the Tenzo said, If you do not understand this, please come and see me at Mount Aiwang sometime, and we will discuss the meaning of words." He spoke in this way, then he stood up and said, "The sun will be down soon. I must hurry." And he left. Later, Dogen did go to Mount Aiwang and receive further instruction from the Tenzo. I doubt that there is anyone here who would say that this man was just a cook. He is a master. He teaches not with words, not with silence, even as did Guishan. And their teaching is the same teaching. If you understand one, you will understand the other. This is the fulfillment of many years of practice. How can I delegate my responsibility to others? Tenzo, Tanto, Sweeper, Anja, Toilet Cleaner, Jisha, Salad Cook, Tea Server, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. Every moment is the fulfillment of our practice, whether we have practiced for 20 years or 20 minutes. And we certainly cannot delegate our practice to others, not even to the Buddha. In kicking over the water bottle, Guishan fulfills his years of practice in that moment. Wu Men's commentary. Though Guishan was altogether valiant, he could not spring out of Baizhang's trap. Comparatively speaking, he accepted the difficult and rejected the easy. How so? Look for yourself. Removing the towel from his head, he shouldered an iron yoke. Yes, Guishan leapt clear of one trap only to be caught in another. And from this one, there was no escape. He exchanged the cook's bandana for the far heavier burden of the teacher. The iron yoke refers to what was actually a large wooden board called a kang. Convicted criminals were forced to wear it. It was rather like a pillory, except only the head went through and you were free to walk around. The catch was that you couldn't bring your hands to your mouth, so you couldn't feed yourself. You had to depend on the charity of others to feed you, to actually put the food into your mouth. So to wear a yoke of iron is to attempt the impossible. The teacher attempts the impossible to teach the unteachable, to transmit the untransmissible. Good luck to all of us. As for the head monk, his name was Zenkaku. And later he also took up the iron yoke and became a highly respected master in his own right. This is a case where we see one Zen student who's a little behind the other, but he kept working. There's a lesson here as well. We all get slapped down from time to time in Doksan or a Dharma encounter. That's okay. It's how you learn. Wu Men's verse. Tossing away the bamboo utensils and the wooden ladles, he swept away all impediments before him. Baizhang's severe barrier cannot stop him. The tip of his foot creates innumerable Buddhas. Tossing away the bamboo utensils and the wooden ladles. I suspect that Guishan knew exactly what was going on, that it was time for him to leave, time to move on. So with one sweep of his foot, he clears away what? Impediments? What impediments? Guishan, water bottle, Baizhang, the head monk, all are empty, all are one. Where is the impediment? As for Baizhang's severe barrier, what a joke. What could possibly stop the universe? What could get in the way of our Buddha nature? The tip of his foot creates innumerable Buddhas. Innumerable Buddhas. All Buddhas throughout space and time. Where do they come from? If they are created, are they Buddhas? Ask Guishan. Or better yet, ask Guishan's foot. Every moment, every breath, every move, every step, this moment, and this moment is the fulfillment of our practice. Together with all beings, we realize the way.